This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and I'm glad to be with you this wonderful first weekend in April. And with us right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Joe can be found at rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. Good morning and welcome, Joe McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us today.
I'm glad to be here and talking to the New Beginnings listeners about our topic today, which is Minnesota's hidden job market. And I'm excited to share that information because, Freddie, I know that we're going to reach someone today that may benefit or find that new opportunity in that hidden job market.
Indeed. So we're taking a closer look at Minnesota's hidden job market. And so can you frame the definition for us, what hidden job market is, and some reasons, perhaps, Joe, why it exists in the first place?
Absolutely. The more or less the common or the working definition of the hidden job market is just simply job openings that are never advertised by the employers. So these jobs would be hidden from the people, from a job seeker who are only looking for opportunities that are posted online. So in that sense, if you're only looking online and you're not, you know, open to or realizing that some of these jobs may not get posted, then they are hidden to that job seeker. And I think it's important that we discuss this because there's some statistics out there that show that, you know, many of the jobs don't go posted for a lot of different reasons. So, Freddie, I think we are in a position to be a great service to our New Beginnings listeners that there are jobs that don't get posted. And if a job seeker is not looking for them outside of an online post, they will remain hidden to them.
Very interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. We're talking this week, we're taking a close look at Minnesota's hidden job market. If you were to compare Minnesota, and you may not have the answer to this, but are there more hidden jobs in this market than you would say anywhere else in the Midwest? Or is it fairly the same when it comes to employers having openings that they don't necessarily advertise?
I think it's the same, you know, across the country, you know, compared to Minnesota, if they have the similar types of industries, which Minnesota has such a diverse breadth of industries in the state of Minnesota. And the competition is tough, you know, for, you know, good talent. But we also, you know, home for a lot of small to mid-sized companies. And one of the reasons why a posted job doesn't always get posted from a small to mid-sized company, Freddie, is just the amount of work that goes with reviewing resumes, talking with people, trying to figure out who they have. And often companies may just rely upon referrals from their existing employees to fill that spot. Because, you know, if someone on staff can speak to someone in their work ethic and their emotional intelligence and their talents and skills, why would you spend 6 months going through, you know, stacks and stacks of resumes if you could have one of your employees refer someone to that? And it does happen. Often in the private sector, we'll see where companies will look for referrals through their employees. So I think to answer your question, if Minnesota is similar to, you know, a state that has a wide breadth of technology and agriculture and education and healthcare, I think the hidden job market exists in the entire country.
It's interesting that you were talking about this at advertisers, and we're talking about maybe some blue chip companies, some major companies. But it's interesting to me that they don't want to invest in letting the public know that these opportunities are out there. That seems like an oxymoron.
Well, sometimes there's constraints that they don't have the time or the people power to turn around quickly. What if they have to turn around quickly? What if there's an opening, someone's left them, and they have to fill that pipeline, that talent pipeline quickly? Again, I go back to if they have 12 resumes and they really don't know who they have in that person that's a part of that posted job versus, hey, who do we know that can slide into this position and hit the ground running? That's where, you know, employee referral may come into play here. That there's just maybe the human resource constraints, the time, the efforts, the cost of recruiting people is significant. It's just the time and people you have on staff. And I call it like I see them, and that's what I've seen out there. Some companies will prefer to do it that route.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend, as usual, our co-host on the program. It's interesting. I can recall a time when there was a person in the Twin Cities area who was looking to fill what I thought was a very important post. And in the email that came out, he said he wanted to fill the opportunity through his own personal network. And eventually, as a matter of fact, the person that I referred is the individual who eventually was hired. Is that typical or atypical?
I think just the fact that you were in a position to refer someone that thought would be successful in that position, I think it happens more than people think. I think a job seeker may only be approaching it from the advertised jobs, and that's where they're looking. And they don't know that job got filled. Do you know that the hiring cycle starts long before the job description is ever posted?
Mm-hmm.
It starts when a company has a pain or a need to fill. And what if someone is networked or been referred into a company that just realized they had to fill this position because of retirement or someone leaving somewhere else or just an acquisition or a new account? Think about it, Freddie. By the time the job description would get posted online, it may be several weeks of work to get it to that point. So really, just anybody that's listening today, being aware that if you're there early to the game in regards to having conversations with companies and target markets and target companies, those positions that may open up that may not even have a job description written yet, you might be in a position to leverage those early conversations with that company long before it ever considers getting posted. So there's another reason maybe jobs get filled before they post, because someone's already been having conversations with them.
Is that fair, Joe McKenzie, for people who are job seekers? Is that really a fair way to fill an opportunity?
Well, I think it's the reality of how some companies will hire. So I think a job seeker should be aware of that the opportunities will present themselves, and often when you see it posted, it's already too late. It's the reality of how industries and businesses, individual businesses, will attract good talent. And again, they may have the constraints of you know, people on staff to look through, you know, all this versus who do you know, or who have we had conversations with already about what we need? We've talked about Lou Adler's real job needs conversation. So if someone was able to have those conversations with a company long before that position opened up, they may call you back in because something did change. Is it fair? I think it's the reality of many industries out there today that they have to make sure that they keep that talent pipeline full.
Wow. Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us, taking a closer look at Minnesota's hidden job market. I have so many other questions, but I know we're going to come back around to this and offer some strategies on how we can tap into this even deeper and leverage the opportunities that lie in the hidden job market. So let's talk just really briefly again about the hiring cycle starts well before a job is posted. You mentioned some situations that can cause this to happen. If somebody leaves suddenly or they leave for another opportunity, what can cause? So talk to us again about the start of the job cycle.
Well, if a company brings on a new account or they need, you know, someone's, you know, there's a new challenge that they've realized to support their business, that's the beginning of that pain point or that need that they have. And it, you know, often they're still trying to budget for that position, define the scope of that position. that's when the hiring cycle begins, not when the job posts online. So just being a job seeker, just being aware that the hiring cycle starts when the need or the pain occurs within a company for one reason or another, when the cycle begins, and that's when you probably have a better position to be successful at those conversations early versus when it opens up to a wider group when it eventually posts. Get out in front of it. That's a contender mindset. Look for it. Look under those rocks.
We'll do that. And Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And we'll be right back.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is power, that inner quality that directs our thoughts, words, and actions. Did you know that every time you think or speak, you're actually applying a creative power? Your choices shape your reality. If you choose to create good, to attract wealth, to establish peace, it's all from that power that you already have, the power of choice. You can actually promote peace in the world through your thoughts, through your words of conciliation, and through constructive action. All true power emanates from the thoughts that you hold in your mind. That's our point of focus, power. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining us right now is Dr. Nathan Chomolo, who is the medical director for the state of Minnesota's Medicaid and Minnesota Care programs and the brand new vaccine equity director for the state of Minnesota. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. So you were just newly minted for equity and vaccines just in the last few days. What does that new role entail for you?
Yeah, thank you. I'm stepping into a role with the Minnesota Department of Health as the Vaccine Equity Director, and that really entails looking at our systems and seeing how we can continue to better operationalize equity. So that means we know that certain communities have been hardest hit by COVID-19 and that our vaccines aren't getting there as well as they can based on just how our systems are structurally set up. And so what are the ways our systems can work better? What are the ways that we can continue to work with community to get the word out about the vaccines and get folks the information they need to make the choices that are best for their health, and really kind of decrease those barriers and hopefully get the vaccines into arms that are at highest risk?
According to numbers provided us by the Minnesota Department of Health, nationally, the Black and Hispanic share of vaccinated population is lower than the Black and Hispanic general population in every state reporting race and ethnicity data. Why is that, Doctor?
I think there's a number of reasons, but I think what's pretty clear at this point is that access really is the main reason right now. And so when we say access, if you think about the ways that folks sign up for vaccines, it's by going online and being able to search through multiple websites, looking to see if you can find yourself an appointment. Then once you find one, can you stop everything you're doing and get there to get that shot? Can you take time off work? Do you have transportation to get there? Does it work inside your daily schedule? And then are the shots, in your neighborhood or not? Are they coming from a institution that you know and trust? And so those access barriers are really key. And then we do still see, folks have questions, I think rightfully so. There is vaccine deliberation, and that's a piece of it. But when they've surveyed, adults across the country, when they look at the numbers, the number of Black adults that are interested and willing to take the shot if offered is the same as white adults. And so it's not simply just, the vaccine hesitancy or what I like to call vaccine deliberation that's causing these gaps. It really is an access issue.
When you're also looking at the Minnesota numbers, they were just updated last Friday. It shows some interesting statistics in that the number of people who've received doses as opposed to those who've not.
Yeah, as you kind of highlighted, that this is a national problem that we see here in Minnesota. Minnesota does have a kind of really groundbreaking partnership to look at our data in ways that other states don't. But the story is largely the same. And so what we see is that white Minnesotans currently are getting vaccinated at nearly 1.5 times higher rate than Black Minnesotans. Two times higher than Black Minnesotans, even though we know that Black Minnesotans are two times as likely to end up with hospitalization from COVID-19 or death from COVID-19. So I think, there's a gap there in that we know certain parts of our communities are at highest risk, but they're not getting the shots at that same level of risk.
We're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo, who is the medical director for the state of Minnesota's Medicaid and Minnesota Care programs. It's also newly minted as a vaccine equity director. Talk about access and what you're going to be doing to stir up the access. You've only had the job just for a few days. I know, I hate to put you on the spot, but what does the new access model look like?
Yeah, so that's currently, we're still working on that. I think there are things the state has done to help get at access. One is a partnership with our Fairly Qualified Health Centers. So, our community clinics like North Point, Minnesota Community Care, Open Cities, those types of clinics are getting doses specifically to reach out into the community and continue to try to partner with other community clinics to get doses to where folks already get care. Trying to work with local pharmacies, too, that also work with the community and get doses to them to either give out through the pharmacy or do pop-up clinics. Trying to continue to work through our COVID community coordinators to really work with members of our community to figure out what are some of the barriers, how can we better address them. And then we are planning to have a mobile vaccination unit up and running in a couple of weeks that will actually then be targeting specifically on areas of high risk, areas where there might be gaps in where how people get their shots. And so those are some of the strategies that are already in development even before I came in. And then my hope is to really kind of continue to help our system measure and set actual goals. So we have goals for speed, right? We have goals that we want to get so many shots into so many arms over 72 hours or for 7 days. We need similar goals for our vaccinators around equity. How are we reaching areas of our communities that have been hardest hit? And so that we can kind of pair those together and then hopefully drive the system towards making the choice to do shots in communities that have been hardest hit, like our Black community, make that the easy choice and not something that's hard for them to make.
You've got a lot of great partners, and a lot of people who listen to this particular program are baby boomers, maybe a little bit older. And you've got the cultural, faith, disability communities, and also the Minnesota Public Housing Authority, who are really mobilizing to get vaccinated to the arms of its residents.
Absolutely. This is 100% a team effort. And so, the Department of Health is really, I see it as the coordinator, kind of the coach, right? Like we have a lot of the information and about who's doing what where, who plans to do what where. And we really wanted to then help make the decisions easier for our local public health, our regional coalitions, our health systems, those community-based organizations that are really connected and know what our folks need. And so I think there's continued work we can do to improve that coordination and be a better coach so that we all are driving towards the same goal.
What does it mean and how does it improve the access when you have a former governor who's a Republican, the current governor who's a Democrat, and also people of color who are doctors administering vaccines in our community? What does that do and how does that help access and the take rate?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple arms. Access is really about if I make the decision that I want to, you know, get a shot, I'm ready to get my shot, how easy is it for me to get it? And so I think what you're talking about there, Freddie, is more about how we can kind of really address the messaging and help people understand that these shots are very effective. They're very safe. They're the way that we can get back to the things we love to do before the pandemic hit. And so, you know, seeing, you know, it was really great to see Kelly Robinson, the president of Black Nurses Rock, be the one to give Governor Walz his shot the other day, just knowing all the work she's done in the community. And so, you know, seeing that a Black nurse is there giving the shot, as she's gotten the shot herself, that I've gotten my shot. I've talked in many, you know, with you before and others that, you know, I took my shot as soon as it was offered. I've gone through the reasons and the reasonings why, you know, I considered that. And I think that's really key to help people understand that, yeah, there's people who have done a lot of thinking and are engaged in the work that are ready to take their shot, have taken their shot, are doing well. The more people we see in our community get the shot, do well, the easier, and the data shows that the more likely people are to get the shot themselves. And so I think those pieces are really key to getting people ready to get the shot. And then we have to continue to work on the access so that once they're ready, it's easy for them to get the shot, you know, no matter where they are in their life.
It's a real takeaway here is that access and hesitancy are parallel lines that are not necessarily intersecting lines.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they do intersect at the point where, you know, once we get over our deliberation, then if access is a barrier, that we kind of lose that opportunity. And so, you know, we could do a bunch of town halls and go around our communities, answer questions. But then if folks are, you know, energized and ready to get the shot, but then they have to wait 2 or 3 weeks, we might have to, all that time we spent talking about it, we might have to do it again. And so now that we're having more and more doses come into the state, I think we have a real opportunity to like really better pair these outreach efforts with, okay, now that you've got the information and you're ready, let's get you the shot and go from there. I think that's the opportunity that I really see coming to this position is to continue to better operationalize, you know, our goals of not only looking at how fast we get shots into arms, but making sure that we aren't leaving people behind.
We have about 30 seconds left. A year ago about this time, we were talking about testing. This year, we're talking about vaccination. What will we be talking about this time next year?
Yeah, I think it's going to, what my hope is that this infrastructure that we're building, how we're working with community, that we'll talk about how COVID, while it was a crisis, it really led to this ability to continue to focus on our community's health in a way that people have been asking for years, for generations, that we really prioritize the health of our communities. And my real hope is that, you know, COVID-19 is our opportunity to not just show up to get the shot, but let's then show up to get other health needs met. Let's show up to get other, you know, nutrition needs met. There's a lot of ways that we can kind of continue to work and be led by community and really help the systems, again, make the choice that is right for our communities. And my hope is that COVID-19 and this opportunity with our vaccine effort leads to that.
Dr. Nathan Chomolo, thank you for being with us this morning, the new Vaccine Equity Director, and this is New Beginnings. Elizabeth Evo, Vaccine Outreach Director for Minnesota's Vaccine Response Team, says there are still precautions we should take even if you're vaccinated.
Even if you've been fully vaccinated, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often.
This message from KMOJ and the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
With me right now is Jay Hafala. He is the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. Good morning, Jay, and welcome back.
Hey, Freddie. Thanks very much. It's good to be with you as always.
Glad you're with us. And the pandemic doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, even though we're hearing some wonderful things about vaccines happening in the United States and even right here in our community. And I'm sure that AARP is providing some great information, some advocacy and resources to help people stay healthy. Can you outline some of those things that AARP is getting behind and helping our residents?
Sure. Well, we've certainly been hard at work as a result of the pandemic and the needs of older people here in Minnesota and across the country. Whether it's to stay healthy and get information about the vaccine and about the pandemic itself, we've been providing that information, but also about helping people cope with the disruptions and the challenges that have come about as a result, whether they have been job losses and financial disruptions or other issues within families. We're, you know, doing what we can to help people get that straightforward information, and we're advocating on behalf of them at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C. One of the issues I can speak with you about today is just the amount of fraud and scams that the con artists have, you know, been using this pandemic and our crisis situation to take advantage of people. Whatever's in the headlines, whether you pick up the newspaper or turn on the radio, that's what the con artists are going to be using to victimize people.
It sounds like it is an industry all into itself. And I'm wondering, what are you seeing now? I mean, we've got the three new vaccines, but what kind of scams, if any, are centered around vaccines?
Sure. So we have not seen a lot of widespread scams around the vaccines, but we know it's happening. And con artists are going to be contacting people. I think the main red flag to look out for is that if anyone is saying that you can pay some money to get the vaccine earlier rather than later, that is a scam. If they're saying they're going to send it to you at home and you can, you know, stick it in your own arm and you got to pay some money to receive it, that's a scam. And anyone saying that if you pay early, or, you know, if they're trying to collect your payment information so you can get at the front of the line, that's a scam too.
Well, everybody, Jay Hafala with us this morning, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. And coming up in just a few days, you've got a partnership with the Better Business Bureau. Can you tell us about that in the webinar that's on the way?
Sure. We have a long history of working with the Better Business Bureau and many other fraud experts, you know, with the government and with, you know, nonprofits around Minnesota. And we work together to help people stay a step ahead of these con artists. So on March 16th, we're hosting a webinar. It's free and open to the public. People just have to go to our website and sign up to get the link so they can join the webinar. And we have guests from the Federal Trade Commission and the IRS to talk about tax scams this tax season. And a representative of the Minnesota Department of Commerce is going to talk about investment scams, which have been in the news lately. You might have heard of these sort of stock options and get rich quick schemes, and people under financial stress are really at risk of those type of investment type scams. But you can learn all about them if you join us on March 16th. It's at 11 o'clock in the morning. It'll be recorded too. So if you can't join live, you still go to our website. It's aarp.org/MN. And then within that website, there's an event section, and that's where you can see this program March 16th, 11 a.m. to learn about scams with the Better Business Bureau and AARP.
What time does that webinar kick off, Jay?
That's 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay, great. So can we get alerts? I know that these scams aren't going away anytime soon. Is there a way to get alerts about different scams that you've discovered?
Yes. So our Fraud Watch Network program, I guess the easiest way for a lot of people would just be to go online to aarp.org/Fraud Watch Network. And through that website, you can sign up to get alerts. So every, you know, every so often, frequently, as we get reports of new scams coming through, then we send out an email to all the people who are signed up to receive them, and we help them stay ahead of the con artists so you know what scams are going to be coming to your email inbox and your on your telephone and wherever else the scammers are trying to get us.
Is there a final thought that you'd like to leave us with this weekend, Jay?
Sure. I think, you know, anytime right now, whether it's your taxes, your finances, whether it has to do with the vaccine and the pandemic, anyone that is calling you and telling you that they need your payment information or your personal information, that's a red flag just to take a step back, slow down, be cautious, and do your homework. And maybe, you know, talk to a family member or someone you trust about those kind of financial decisions. And you can call us with our Fraud Watch helpline. It's 877-908-3360.
Thank you for being with us this morning on our show. Jay Hapala, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement, WERP Minnesota. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings as we continue now into the new year talking about your money. And let's talk specifically about mortgage rates, because mortgage rates are seen as steady this month as the year begins with mortgage rates near historically low levels, with the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaging under 3%. Holden Lewis with NerdWallet tells us that rates will remain low in January. Today's mortgage rates sprouted from the pandemic and the resulting recession in which millions of jobs withered. Some of the jobs lost will return in 2021, but the economy is unlikely to flourish enough to push mortgage rates significantly higher in January, or indeed in the first half of this year, according to Lewis. He says more than 6 million homeowners refinanced in the first 9 months of 2020, and millions more could save money by refinancing, according to Black Knight. That's a mortgage analytics company. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was around 4% APR at the beginning of 2020 and had fallen to around 3% in mid-December. At an interest rate of 4%, the monthly principal and interest payment on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage for $200,000, for example, is $954.83. At an interest rate of 3%, the payment is only $843.21. It's small wonder that millions of people refinanced last year. And because of lower rates, borrowed money goes further in 2021 than it went in the beginning of 2020. Lewis says here's the effect on buying power when the 30-year fixed mortgage rate drops from 4 to 3%. He says at an interest rate of 4%, you can borrow $209,500 with a principal and interest payment of about $1,000 a month. At 3%, you can borrow $237,000 with a principal and interest payment of about $1,000 a month, or $27,700 more. Here are three caveats to this news, he says. Number one, there are not enough homes for sale to meet the demand. Of homes sold in October, 72% were on the market less than a month, that according to the National Association of Realtors. Because demand for homes exceeds supply, prices are going up fast. Simple supply and demand. Number two, rising home prices have roughly kept pace with the increased loan affordability. The median price of an existing home went up 15.5% in the 12 months ending in October, that according to the National Association of Realtors. And meanwhile, the example shows that borrowing power increased 13% with a 1 percentage point drop in the interest rate. And then number three, millions of people are jobless. Without steady income, they are not able to qualify for mortgages. So, as we said at the outset, that 2020 was a brutal year. And here's hoping that this year's economy recovery brings good jobs to people who were laid off or endured reduced income. And when people are ready to buy homes this year, we hope that low mortgage rates will await them. And that's the message from Holden Lewis for Nerd Wallet. You're listening to New Beginnings this weekend, and we're glad that you're with us. And I'm wondering if you're among the 3/4 of holiday shoppers who were expected to use credit cards to purchase gifts this year. Make sure you know how to dig out of the debt that you may have rung up. Otherwise, you still might be paying off debt late into 2021. Here's how to handle holiday debt. First, catalog your holiday expenses. log into each credit account, and note the balance and interest rate. Consider creating a simple spreadsheet or using a debt tracker to keep accounts organized. If you have debt that's not on a credit card, such as a shopping loan from a company such as Klarna, list that too. With your debt sorted, turn to your budget. The 50, 30, 20 budget is an easy template. With this approach, half of take-home pay goes toward necessities like housing and groceries. I know you've heard this before. Then 30% goes towards wants. Lastly, 20% of your income goes toward debt and savings. As you hash out your budget, pin down how much money you can allocate toward debt each month. Divide the total debt by that amount to estimate how fast you can rid yourself of debt, keeping in mind that accruing interest can increase the balances. Focusing on what you can pay monthly helps make your debt more manageable. That, according to Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, she's a Vermont-based wealth psychology expert. She says, ask what you can reasonably pay off each week or each month and really work at achieving it, she says. The best route to resolving holiday debt depends on your cash flow, credit score, and personal preferences. And finally, take decisive action to resolve your debt and ensure that you are debt-free faster, and maybe you can start building up savings for the December 2021 holiday season. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me right now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She's online at westmetrohypnosis.com and on the POTS line, 952-222-3975. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome back to New Beginnings.
It's always my pleasure to be here with you and your listeners, Freddie.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the patience that you have with us. That's our word for today.
Yes, 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 absolutely, patience. So let's just, I welcome everybody into a breath, a collective breath. Think about that for a moment. Everybody listening, just collectively taking a moment to breathe together. And as you inhale and become aware of that breath, and as we exhale together, allowing the muscles of the body to let go of tension and tightness, to become soft and loose, at least for these few moments together, knowing that you can pay attention to whatever it is that you need to pay attention to and still take in this time for yourself and have it be beneficial. And that is one of the great things about patience, that we can be patient in different areas of our lives and still continue on and do what is ours to do. And as we look out in the natural world, for it gives us so many great examples, this transitioning time between winter and spring requires us to be patient. We may want the warmer weather, the longer days of sunshine, the summer breezes, the green grass beneath our feet, and yet we cannot rush Mother Nature. We have to allow it to unfold in its own time. And so part of the process of being patient is to trust that everything we know to be true is coming. We can't force it. We can't rush it. We have to allow it to unfold in perfect time, in perfect place, and in perfect order. So as you think about your own ability to be patient, use this time for yourself to become aware of a deeper sense of patience. Begin to recall the times where patience has benefited you in your life in meaningful ways beyond just being able to stand in a grocery line or at the bank. We know that busyness of life can sometimes test our patience. But what about those bigger things in life where you brought patience to the game and it benefited you over a longer period of time, much as the same kind of patience we need to bring to the arrival of spring, of summer, and of green grass. Know that patience is within you now. Connect to it, breathe into it, and allow yourself to move through this day with a deeper sense of patience. And thank you for being here.
And thank you, Kelly. Kelly Von Heinekopf of West Metro Hypnosis, breathing into patience this week on New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Risa Golubov is the first woman ever to be dean of the Great School of Law at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville. And she said she learned something. Very often these days we hear, well, let's all sit down at the table and have a conversation. Let's learn about one another. Open our understanding. Open our hearts. And she said, dear friend, I had a realization after the events in Charlottesville. She said, I was in such a community discussion, and people challenged and said, excuse me, you are a Jew. I do not want you here. Get out. But she said it was a lesson for her because she realized how important is that first step of willingness. Willingness to see things differently, to feel things differently. A willingness to step out of our self-conceived barriers of who we are, and perhaps more importantly, who others are. And she said it's hard to have this mind-opening conversation with others when people don't want to talk to you, don't think you have a right to be at the table. And of course, her experience was as a Jewish woman, but it's not limited to that. There are many ways that people do not feel welcome at a community table. So this willingness is a critical point. And in my opinion, willingness is what we learn in our spiritual practice. It's what I hope Unity teaches in its own way, in its own tradition. But it's that willingness step that comes before anything can be accomplished at the level of education or learning about others. Learning about distinctions. First, we have to be willing. Willing to be present to others. Willing to welcome others into our presence. Willing to work with others. So the four steps that I'd like to center this lesson around are, one, that willingness component. Two, to recognize the power of group experience. Like when we come together in our times of prayer, when we work with silent unity, our spiritual practice that recognizes we are greater together than we are in isolation, that we never walk alone. That we can discover a unity, a spiritual reality that is within our entire group. Third point, that from that group experience, we can return to our individual daily practice and say, as we often do, what is mine to do? What step can I take to further this intention or vision that I've realized in the willing group experience? And then, fourth step, then we are ready for teamwork, group intention, social action, work for the good of our common welfare. But there was a lot of preparatory work before we get to that social action. I want to close with the beautiful poetic form that Rumi gives to this idea of going beyond boundaries. Hear these words. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. That famous quotation goes further. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Do you hear that idea of unity, of becoming one? Let's hear it again. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full, too unlimited to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. So let's take a journey in a time of prayer. If we allow ourselves in prayer to shift our attention, our journey might only take a minute. It doesn't have to be lengthy to be powerful. So I invite you to join me in a unity in the silence of prayer, if you are willing. Gently close your eyes to turn your attention not within yourself in isolation, but to turn your attention into the spiritual reality behind all things, yourself, others, all creation. I invite you to hold this first step if you are willing. If you are not, then simply take this time to daydream or hold whatever thoughts you choose. But if you are willing, hold this thought with me. I am willing to go beyond my ego self. I am willing to go beyond the different characteristics by which I normally define myself. I am greater than I've ever realized. I am an infinite being because I am God's spiritual matrix of all possibility. Step two, hold this thought with me. We are a unity in God's universe. We are truly one in God mind. There may be distinctions, but there is no difference. We are one. and God. Step three. I am now willing to take this higher vision.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.